meeting to order, 6:05. Mara, could you please determine a quorum?
Yes, Sarah Holmgren.
Here.
Katie.
Oh, there we go. Oh, maybe the TV.
Karen Case.
Here.
Kari Peterson.
Here.
Okay. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll make a motion to approve October 21st agenda. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Carrie. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Next, we'll move on to our fiscal year 2025 audit.
So are you going to elect officers?
Oh, I totally skipped over that, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to, but if you want to, this is the
right
time.
Right after the approval of the agenda, so I apologize. So every October after the municipal election, the school board has the opportunity to reorganize and elect officers to preside over those roles for the school year. Superintendent Taylor will preside over the election of officers for president, vice president, and secretary treasurer. If any current officer would like to step down, or if any member desires to nominate another member, this item, we can also postpone it until the fifth board member is seated. I guess we'll have it open up for discussion. Does anybody want to shuffle spaces? I'm happy to stay on as president unless someone has a burning desire. Who do we have? Your vice president.
I am.
And your secretary treasurer?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so with the loss of Nicole, we don't necessarily have to shuffle, but if everybody's comfortable, let's go.
I'm comfortable.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Kari, unless you have any burning desire to do.
No burning. Strawberry.
Okay. So I apologize for skipping over that. So we'll just stay status quo. Move on. And we've already approved the agenda, so we'll move on to our audit. So BDO, the district's accounting firm, is going to present a draft of the audit to the board. If Mr. Sure, how do you spell, pronounce Mr. Meekey's last name?
Good evening, everyone.
Oh,
can you hear me?
Hello, yes.
Perfect. All right. I'm going to just share my screen real quick, if that's possible, and then go on from there.
Does this get louder?
Can you hear me still?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I was just gonna see, like, if do I have the ability to share my screen here?
I believe you should. There's a button on the bottom of the app that says share. It's like in blue.
It's not letting me yet. Maybe somebody just needs to give me permission. If not, I think you have the audit wrap-up document and a draft of the financials.
We do. Mara's trying to find the spot, I think, where she can give you that access.
Share the link.
So just hang
that
on.
That'll be a lot easier.
If we can't do that, then we'll try to kind of go through it, but we'd prefer, if you were able to.
Oh, Mara could probably share it.
Oh, there we go. I can do it now.
Oh,
perfect.
Okay.
Good job, Mara.
Thank you.
Can you please let me know when you can see my screen?
We can see it.
We can see it now.
Perfect. All right. Thank you again. So my name is Vicky Shrestha. I am the audit partner with BDO, and I am responsible for the audit for the school district. First of all, I'd just like by thanking Shannon and all her for with all of her help that we need to get through the audit, along with everybody else that's involved in the audit process. The audit does take quite a bit of the time on top of the regular duties for your staff, because they have to put a lot of samples for us, answer a lot of questions, and then there's a lot of back and forth we have to do throughout the audit. Once again, I'd just like to thank the whole staff for making it a really clean audit for us to do our work. So, and then one thing to note on this year, we're not completely completed yet, but we're pretty close on the audit of the financial statement and the state single audit. Since you get money from the federal government too, so you're still subject to a federal single audit. And that, as far as test work, we're done. But one problem that's gonna, that is one issue that's gonna be an issue this year is the federal government basically releases a compliance supplement. That's what we as auditors use to audit your compliance with your federal grant requirements. And that compliance supplement is usually approved, or the final compliance supplement is released by the feds at the beginning of the year, so usually around March or April. And then for this year, though, the finalized compliance supplement has not been released. The draft supplement was released back in May or June, and the work that has been done is based on the draft supplement. But the accounting body that guides us as accountants to do audits has recommended that we do not print the federal single audit until that compliance supplement is final. And the big reason being, by the time they finalize the compliance supplement, they may change the requirements. They may change five of the requirements, and we might have to do additional work. So that's the reason that portion of the audit might not be done. We will work with management to figure out if we wait for to finalize the audit, or we just print the report probably with just without the federal single audit. And once that supplement is finalized, then we would just print the single audit report for just for the federal section. So anyway, so that's something new for this year. I just wanted to get that out of the way before I went into the presentation itself. So as far as the presentation goes, first of all, I'd just like to start on the overview and status of the audit. Like I said earlier, we've substantially completed all of the work of the financial statements audit, along with both the federal and state single audit. Since your audit is also subject to an audit in accordance with government auditing standards. The first bullet point over here, the objective of our audit was to obtain reasonable, not absolute assurance about whether the financial statements are free from material misstatements. Basically what that means is an audit, you do not hire us to look at each and everything that goes through your financial statements. An audit includes a concept of materiality and risk assessments, and based on those risks, we design our audit procedures accordingly. The third bullet point there, we expect to issue an unmodified or a clean opinion on the financial statements. The next bullet point below that, we also expect to issue an unmodified opinion on your single audit and your state single audit and your federal single audit. And all records and information that was requested by BDO was freely available for inspection. Next areas of significant risk, things that we spend most of our time on, it's basically your revenue recognition. Revenue recognition in an audit is always pretty much considered the main risk, and that's really your main source of revenue, income for the organization. In your case, mostly the grant revenue is where we spend a lot of our time. Management override of controls, anytime there are journal entries or anything that management does outside of your regular internal control procedures, those are also things that we look at. And on top of that, on for your organization like yours, we do spend a large chunk of audit auditing the compliance requirements in accordance with both the state and federal guidelines. And then certain programs get chosen for test work every year, and I can walk you through which programs were chosen this year later on in the presentation. As far as corrected and uncorrected misstatements go, we don't have any corrected or uncorrected misstatements to report for 2025. Internal control over financial reporting. As part of our audit process, we don't just go look at the numbers. We start by getting an understanding of the internal controls surrounding your financial reporting process. That basically we do lots of inquiries of management, get an understanding, and based on that understanding, if we notice any issues, we'd group it together into one of the three buckets defined over here: control deficiency, or significant deficiency, or material weakness. Any items that we deem to be significant deficiencies or material weaknesses would be presented in writing to you. And since we report in our audit in accordance with government auditing standards, those would also be reported as findings in the financial statement. So I'm just happy to report that we are not reporting any of that. Next one is internal control over your compliance requirements. And same as what we just talked about, we would get an understanding of your internal controls surrounding your compliance requirements for the programs that are selected for test work. And as part of that process, if we notice any issues, we would put it into one of the three buckets defined over here, and any significant deficiency or material weakness would be reported as findings and presented to the board too. And then as part of the government auditing standards audit, if throughout our audit process, if we noticed any violations of laws and regulations that might be significant for you, those are also reported if we note any of that in your financial statements. Again, none of that to report for your audit this year. Other significant accounting policies and practices, just to note this year, there were two accounting pronouncements that did have an impact on your financial statement that was adopted. GASB 100 deals with accounting changes and error corrections. So in your case, you do have some funds that move from major fund to non-major fund based on the calculation of how major funds are calculated. So that's GASB 100 did apply to that transaction. And then for 2025, there was a new pronouncement that basically required you to add some more compensated absences liabilities to your financial statements. Usually your personal leave was already included in your financial statements. So prior to fiscal year ended June 30, 2024, you'd only report any liabilities for accrued leave that would have to be paid out to the employees when they leave. But now that rule did change, so now you are really looking at any of these liability associated with any of the leave you provide, where you do a more than likely assessment. So any leave that you think there's more than 50% chance that the employee is gonna use it in the future, you book that liability. So the biggest item that came into your books as a result of doing this is adding sick leave, and then Shannon had to do a lot of work getting the balance compiled for the portion that the district expect to for the employees to use in the future. So that is included in the financials, and that's what GASB 101 was. Other than that, there were no other significant changes in the financial reporting process. As far as critical estimates go, I mean, we just point this out over here. Nothing, it's about the pension liabilities and your OPEB asset. That's not something management estimates at all. It's the information for that is obtained through the allocation audit that's done at the state level for all the different organizations, and that audited report is available, and that's where the balance is derived, and that's booked on your financial statements. Other required communication, if there were any other significant difficulties that we encountered during the audit, or if we're aware of any consultation that management had with other accountants, we would report that to you, but I don't have any of that to report. So that's a brief overview of the wrap-up document on some of the required communication that we have to do as auditors. Any questions so far? So then I'm just going to do a brief overview of the financial statements. So as you can see the financial statements are in draft form, but as I was saying earlier, they are pretty close to being completed. So I'm just gonna go through a few items over here, go through the results of your single audit, and then save some time for any questions you may have. So when I go to the financial statements, I'm gonna skip on ahead to your statement of net position. So basically this is, in a for-profit world, this would be called your balance sheet. This statements have all of your assets, everything that you own, all of your liabilities, everything that you owe, and the difference between that is your net position. And you also have something called deferred outflows and inflows of resources, that those are basically like assets and liabilities. So your total assets and deferred outflow of resources for the year ended June 30, 2025 was almost 10.9 million. As you can see, out of that, 5.3 million is in your cash and cash equivalents. $2.5 million is your OPEB asset, and then $1.6 million was your capital assets. Compared to your assets of the 10.8, your liabilities total 6.5 million. And as you can see here, majority of that liability is your pension liabilities. And then, as I've said this before in different meetings too, like the pension liability, the one way to look at that is it's not something that somebody can just come and tell the district to pay that liability. The state, it's part of that allocation pool. And at this time, the only way you pay for anything related to that liability is the 22% of an employee's payroll for everybody that participates in your pension plans. Your net position at the end of the year was 4.2 million. 1.6 of that is already invested in your capital assets. 2.5 is your OPEB assets. And then you do have some restricted net position for your capital projects and scholarship. The capital projects is the funding received in advance from the borough for some of your, both your high school and middle school, I think, roofing projects. One item to note this year, like on the next page, I can talk about some of the revenue and expenses in the next statements, but this GASB 101, the $413,000 was the amount of the sick leave liability at the beginning of your fiscal year as of July 1st, 2024, that was brought into your financial statements. So that's a new item for this year. Next statement here is your governmental fund balance sheet. Basically, the statements before that we just looked at, those have all of your assets and liabilities, including your non-current assets and liabilities, so your capital assets, your pension obligation. All the other statements that follow this page really only covers your fund financial statement, which doesn't include your long-term assets and liabilities, and these are the statements that you budget based on. As you can see right here too, so balance sheet over here, you have your assets, your liabilities, and the difference between your assets and liabilities is your fund balance. Your total assets, $6.3 million. Majority of that is in your cash, $5.3 million, cash and investments. Your liabilities was 1.5 million, and the big chunk of that liabilities is funding that you've received in advance, mostly from granting agencies. I think this $1.1 million is the big chunk that was received from the state for your capital project. The page after that is your governmental fund statement of revenue expenditures and change in fund balance. One thing I should note over here is all of your major funds are presented here separately. All of your non-major funds, all the rest of your funds are combined in this particular line item. But behind the notes to the financial statements, there is All of those funds are broken out separately, and you can find the balance sheet and your statement of revenue expenditures and change in fund balance by fund in your financial statements too. So as far as your statement of revenue expenditures and changes in fund balance, which would be your income statement or your profit and loss, basically you have your revenues, your expenditures, and then you have some of these other financing sources, which is your transfers ins and out. And once you take all of that into consideration, the difference would be your fund balance for the year. Your total revenues was $13.5 million. Majority of that, $10.9 million, was in your general fund. Out of that $13.5 million, $7.9 million comes from the state of Alaska, mostly in the foundation funding. $4.2 million is mostly all from the borough. And then the rest of the funding is mostly federal sources passed through the state of Alaska. Your expenditures basically pretty much follow your revenue. Your expenditures for the year was $13.2 million. And then one unique item for this year is the transfer from primary government. So in this case, that's the transfer from the borough for your capital projects. So $1.1 million was transferred in, and that's reported right here. Following that, I was just going to point to, just a second here, basically page 38 of the financial statements has some of the new accounting pronouncements, both that were implemented this year and ones that we'll have to implement in the next fiscal year, next few years. And then note 12 is talking about the change in reporting entity, where basically food service special revenue fund was reported as a major fund last year, but then the calculation changed, so now they no longer qualify as being a major fund, and then it's reported as non-major fund. The next one just talks about the change in accounting principle related to the implementation of GASB 101 that resulted in you adding sick leave liability to your statements. After that, I just wanted to point out that there is a budget and actual for your general fund right here on page 42. This is really at the summarized level. So this one shows your original budget, that's what you would have passed before the fiscal year, the final budget, and then it compares it to the actual actual balances for the year. And following that, you'll also find starting on page 54, a detailed breakdown of the general fund budget and actual. So if you wanted to look at how the money was spent, this is where you'd go, because most of your expenses do come in the general fund. And like I was saying, starting on page 58, you'll find the balance sheet and the statement of revenue expenditures and changes in fund balances for all of the different funds that are reported together as non-major funds in the financial statements. Following that, I was just gonna go and show you the federal schedule. So there's one more schedule I did wanna focus on this year too. So this is basically a schedule of compliance in accordance with AS 14.17.505. You do have a waiver. This is that 10% requirement. So you're not allowed to carry more than 10% of your expenditures in fund balance from one year to the next. Otherwise, you have to give funds back to the state. There was, because of COVID, there is still a suspension of that requirement, but that's only applicable through fiscal year in June 30, 2025. From 26, you're going to have to look at this number again. Right now you are sitting at about 20% of your expenditures in fund balance. Next few pages, 108 and 109, just gives you a breakdown of all the federal funding that is received by the district. And then Phase 111 shows the breakdown of all of the state programs that are state funding that's received. And as you can see by the stars over here, really public school funding and your Petersburg High School roof replacement programs were the two main programs that were audited for state single audit purposes in 2025. Following that, I'm just going to go briefly through the schedule of findings and question costs. So this one just gives you a brief summary of both the financial statement audit and then the federal and state single audit. As I was saying earlier, it's an unmodified or a clean opinion on the financial statements. We're not reporting any material weaknesses or significant deficiency on your financial reporting. And same thing on the federal award, we're not reporting any issues. And Child Nutrition Cluster was the federal program that was audited in 2025. As far as the state goes, same thing, no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies identified. And then as I was talking about earlier, we'll probably have to print this report without the federal report. So this section probably will be deleted for right now, and then we'll have to release that report whenever the compliance supplement comes out. So that's, and then like I said earlier, no findings reported. So that's basically all I have for my presentation right now. Any questions or concerns for me or Shannon?
I don't think so. It looked like it was a good clean one as usual, so thank you for all your efforts.
I would like to hop in though. Vicki talked a lot about that supplemental not being released on the federal guidance. And that's obviously something that all the districts are facing in the state. So there has been guidance from the Department of Education. And we're asking that you accept this in draft form because they want to go ahead and get the drafts into the state because they are due by November 15th. We don't know when this will ever get the guidance. So we're asking you to accept this so that the state can go ahead and get their hands on it and get started. Mm-hmm. And then when the guidance is released, then we'll bring it to you again for a second acceptance.
Okay,
makes sense.
Thank
you. So that will need to be added under other new business at the end of the meeting.
Yeah.
If you guys are going to accept.
Sure.
What we could do is make a motion now to add it to the meeting.
I'll make a motion to add the fiscal year audit presentations draft fiscal year 2025 to accept it in its current draft form. Could I have a second to add it to the agenda?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we will add it. We'll address it at the end of the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Have a good rest of the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on, we don't have a student representative report. Do we have any correspondence?
She's right here.
Oh, sorry. Yes, we do. Sorry, Heidi.
Yeah. Did you think I wasn't here?
I remember you here. I was thinking more like presentation, as in like small
young children showing us something. So I apologize. Go ahead.
Now we've been here for over 11 hours now. We're so proud of you.
The elementary school food bags are being done by the ASB, and we did them for this month. But we are thinking we are going to hand that over to NHS as a volunteer opportunity. The ASB is currently planning a Spirit Week and Pep Assembly, not on the day of Halloween, sadly, we couldn't get that day, but the week after. And in 2 weeks from now, we're planning to have our first full ASB meeting.
All right, we'll move on to correspondence.
None.
Okay, we'll move on to comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to comments from the audience related to agenda items. Okay, seeing none, comments from the board members. Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the October 21st consent agenda. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Katie. Mara, any discussion? Hearing none, Mara, could you please call the roll?
It's Carrie.
Yes.
Kari.
Yes.
Katie.
Sorry, yeah.
Homeland.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgrave.
Yes. Motion passes.
Next, we will move on to administrative reports. Superintendent Taylor.
Well, I presented my report. I'm happy to entertain any questions, but definitely would like to give a special shout out as he just walked in the room. Mr. Jamie Cabral is our Alaska's 2026 Assistant Principal of the Year. It was kind of a hard secret to hold on to for a week or two, but incredibly proud of the work that Mr. Cabral does with our entire school community. It's a well-deserved honor, so congratulations again. And while we have Heidi in the room, a shout out to her is the Allstate Music Festival Choir Alto 2 Soprano selection.
Yes. Good job.
And, you know, just more celebrations, our boys cross country team, our repeat champions. So we have great things happening. I know Stedman is now implementing a Student of the Month program. So if you've driven around the community, Sawyer, Mason, Katie, and I'm not sure if I can pronounce her name correctly, Sinea, were selected as the September Students of the Month, and they've created yard signs that talk about the Stedman Eagles and being responsible, respectful, and safe. And I think they have our learning dispositions on them as well. So it's really neat to see that happening. Enrollment-wise, when I looked at the numbers, we are one student equivalent down from where we started in September. So there were a couple little transitions, but overall we're just down one student. We did find out that the Raising the Bar for Alaska Schools grant is fully funded for this next year, so we will have the opportunity to continue to work with both NIET, who helps us with process, and Corwin, who helps us with content, until October of next year. And it is a significant support for us, because I did reach out to Corwin to find out if the funding didn't come through what that would cost us, and they're about $9,500 a day, and they're supporting us 10 days a year right now through the Raising the Bar for Alaska Schools grant. So I recognize the fiscal value, but more so than the fiscal value is really the material and support that our teachers are getting in their learning and supporting students. And then we also, I've shared a few times, we have the CLSD grant, and that really is starting to kick off. The team met with our preschools last week, and it sounds like there will now be a regular meeting with the preschools, and there Leanne and the crew presented with them the Sounds First approach for reading, and it was enjoyable to sit in the room and kind of watch this epiphany of, wow, that makes sense. Now I understand why Sounds First can really support them learning letters. And so it was really fun to watch that. School calendar, you guys are going to look at that today. What you'll see is that it really, really represents the majority of the feedback we received from the school community at large, as well as the staff. And of course, no calendar is ever going to be perfect, but we did the best we could on the initial. We do anticipate there might be a change already, possibly in the spring in-service days. We're really trying to work those two spring in-service days around where we think the Science of Reading Symposium will be, but we don't have next year's dates yet. We just today received this year's dates. So, and it's May 1st, that weekend, right? And then Shannon and Aaron and I will be meeting with LCG tomorrow to talk about phase two of the security upgrades, really looking at the door swipe-in fob system. We're hoping to get a better idea of really what the, if we were able to support all doors being fob accessed, what that would cost, but we've also provided them a phase one, two, three, and four approach, depending on where the funds land. And then we also, this is that condition survey. So we'd love to have a board member join us. I think we're looking at meeting next week on the 4th from 1 to 3 to really dive into this a little bit more. I have been going over it with a fine tooth comb, but
it's a lot.
It's a lot.
And Nicole was the facilitator.
facilities committee rep.
I was our facilities person.
But just, there are items in here that were also pointed out in the 2008 code and condition survey. So this is by no means the we're going to do all of these things list, but we want to have a chance to look at it and really determine priorities for what we want to work to put on this six-year CIP list versus what items we can maybe take care of in-house or contract out locally without having to go to the big extent of a CIP project. So just to give an idea, though, for the elementary school alone, based on their cost estimates, if we were to do everything that they have identified in here, we are looking at $2.9 million just for the elementary. And I'm partially through the high school right now, when we are already upwards of $2 million in just a little bit into the document. So
I'd say those estimates are a little low.
Yeah, they did.
Well, the ones I looked at.
Yeah, they did try to prorate the estimates for 2 years out, but
who knows?
Yeah. So anybody that's been in construction, as I'm seeing through my personal life, it is expensive and way more than one would anticipate it's going to cost. So the projects going on right now, though, we are down to the gymnasium roof, and they have to do it in six sections that they're working on at a time. So they tent over one section and they're working on it, and then getting to the next. Definitely weather and shipping delays are impacting, but talking with contractor, they hope to be done the week of November 10th. Mm-hmm. Let's just hope the weather can lighten up a little bit to help that. Each day we walk in the gym to see if, as they're doing their work, if a new hole has surfaced. We're working through it, though, and they're just waiting on like soffitting to come to finish some of these last little things floating around. So that's what I have.
Any questions? Great, thank you very much.
Neither principal is here.
I didn't see them in the room, so hopefully you had a chance to read their reports. I will say I was excited to see our number count for the district is up. I knew it was more, but it was a lot more, 478.
And that's full and part-time students, so the actual FTE count is probably still 465,
okay.
464. But
healthier than we had anticipated. So. Okay, we'll move on to Director of Activities.
Hi.
If you want to pop in,
absolutely.
Your report was good too.
yes, there's a lot of things happening right now. October's kind of a crazy month for us. We're like in the midst of 9 activities happening all at once, so it's a busy one. But thank you to everyone as well for all the congratulations. Like I said, when you might talk with Taylor too, she's here. To me, that is a big reflection on the community as well, because there's no way any of it would get done without the community's help and all the families and everything and the students. So thank you all as well. And yeah, that's that. Lots of things happening. Our cross country team, what an amazing race up there. The stream was not working, and yeah, but at least we had some live feeds. Thank you, Sarah. And then also you can watch the updates happening on top of the little chips happening on that as well. So it was really cool. Swim and Dive coming up on their regional championships next week. Happy Halloween to them. They will be in a pool during Halloween, just the way the calendar falls. But they'll be headed to the region championships next week in Ketchikan. And then middle school basketball and cheer, up and away we go. And so we are rolling with that. Middle school robotics, our numbers up. I think I said that last time. Our SALT program, we have our student selections going, and finding a time to meet with that crew of kids is unbelievably the most challenging schedule I have ever created in my life. That is worse than creating a tournament because they are so busy. So it could be on a mid-Sunday afternoon. But we don't want to do that. So we're trying to find the right time. And 6 a.m. ain't gonna be the thing to do for that crew. So we're all working to kind of, I'm trying to get their schedules and mixing it all together. It's insane, it's awesome, it's great, but we're gonna get it. We're gonna figure out our schedule here shortly. Volleyball just got back from Haynes. What a trip that was, it was great. And they're rolling. High school wrestling had their first wrestling meet. Our kids did phenomenal down there. And that's kind of some of the events coming up this week. I've got a huge tournament this weekend coming to town, but the one of the most exciting things, and Shannon and Robin are in on it too, you will be able to pay with a credit card at the concession stand from now on. So we partnered with GoFan. They also tie into our Pixelot NFHS network system. The companies all kind of merged together, so we have a tap to pay kiosk at the concession stand and at the gate. And so we will have two separate systems that'll be working there. So come and spend your money and eat as many hot dogs as you want. And you can even download the app, the GoFan app, on your phone, and we will have giant QR code picture signs that they sent that are going to be up and posted around the gym for our home events. But we are very, very excited about the tap to pay at the concession stand, because a lot of people don't travel with cash no more. So, and we're trying to decide how many teams we should send out to go see the release of Charlie on Thursday, because of a lot of our teams are wanting to go watch Charlie get released.
That's the seal.
To get released. We have a lot of teams that are like, oh, we should probably take everybody there. He might have the biggest crowd in the world.
That would be so cool.
But yeah, that's the thing, the biggest one. We're going to have the GoFan thing happening this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, at some volleyball matches. So that's it.
And when does volleyball start?
On Thursday, right now, we are starting that first match at 6 o'clock, and then the next one at 7. We're going to go one main court, or possibly two, all depends on some things happening, but 6 p.m. for sure is the first game Thursday. Juno Douglas is coming a day early, and then on Friday, games start at 3:30, and then we have Juno Douglas, Ketchikan, Metlakatla, Craig coming this weekend. And we're going to release the schedule tonight. I think we finally got it set up to make sure we had no conflicts with anything. So, and then Saturday we start at 8:30 in the morning, and then we have a meant-to-be break so people can go shopping at Oktoberfest. And then they come back for the afternoon games, and we'll be done by about 5:36, because I think the swim club auction is also happening on Saturday. Saturday's like the busiest day of the fall. So
the Thursday games are Petersburg games?
Petersburg, Juno Douglas at 6. Petersburg, Juno Douglas at 7. They're bringing two teams now. Yeah. So we'll have 23 games set up for the weekend.
Wow. And you still need volunteers to help?
If anybody would ever want to come and learn how to do a volleyball book, knowing how to do it. You can't line judge, though, because that's Heidi's job. She's the best line judge on the planet. But if you're interested, let me know. Hang out at the gym. It'll be great.
And is it too early for senior acknowledgement?
Yes, we are doing that November 15th.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know November if we were going to be able to have any more matches in Petersburg or not.
November
15th. Okay.
We're doing some stuff with Durango. We were supposed to go over and take our JVs over today, but that weather forecast was not pretty. So we will reschedule midweek. We've got a lot of open dates for them. So,
okay. Great. Awesome. Any other questions for Mr. Gabriel? Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
All right. The rest of the reports were in our board packet. Hopefully you had a chance to read it. I would like to do a shout out to our director of food service who brought us dinner tonight.
Yeah, so good.
With an amazing menu. Yes, Mr. Gabriel, you can take one. I want to just read it over the air what was offered up. Since it is farm to school month, it was black cod with carrot top pesto, Farragut farm potatoes, green salad with raspberry dressing, roasted eggplant, and stuffed jalapenos, and it was amazing.
Yeah,
thank you for a wonderful meal, and a great example of what's happening down the hall. Yes, that was one in her report. It was how much local foods were used last year versus in previous years, 2023 versus 2024, and it was a little over 1% in 2023, I recall, and then over 11%, is that what I remember from reading it? Over 11% of the food that is used in the food service burger. Oh, 11.56, or 5.8, I can't talk from there.
5.8,
thank you, is used for purchase locally. So that's a huge jump. And clearly the meal that we had, a lot of it came locally. So thank you, Miss Johnson McIntosh, for a wonderful meal. Okay, next, we don't have SPED CLSD coordinator. That's you.
Yeah.
We have one of them.
I'm here. We have really hit the ground running with the CLSD grant.
And so the things that are going on right now is we are kind of wrapping up on November 13th our Following for Reading Challenge. And our goal as a district, birth all the way to grade 12, was to read 100,000 pages. And our middle schoolers have read 53,477 pages. Our high school has read 8,820 pages. And we've been doing the Literacy Word of the Day on KFSK, and that has been a very positive response. And this week, we are gonna be doing a parent literacy call-in on Thursday afternoon from 3:45 to 4:45. So if you have those literacy questions, Karen Gross from NIET is gonna be in town as she's coaching the NIET team and the CLSD team. And so she is gonna be hosting that call with us for parents to call in and ask questions. And so then what I would like to invite everybody to and the whole community is our district-wide celebration, which is gonna be on November 13th. Carly is gonna be serving dinner for our grades K through five, Margaret Ed students from 5 to 5:30 at the elementary. Then the event will start here at the high school at 5:30 to 7:30. And we have so far 14 teachers that are participating. And we're really excited because this is an event that's all the way from our K kiddos all the way to 12th grade. Our honors students are gonna be participating by dressing up, and they're gonna be book characters and be reading books throughout the building. And we have lots of art projects that are gonna be going on, so please come, it's gonna be really fun. And then it was mentioned earlier that we had our preschool meeting last Thursday. It was really exciting. They were given some materials and then a presentation lesson on Sounds First Approach. And it's really exciting to build that relationship. And we have a few of the preschool teachers that may be attending the Science of Reading with us, which the dates were just posted for that, and also taking the preschool letters class. So our common literacy language, birth to pre-K, is definitely growing. And come stop by anytime because we can show you how the data is looking. I just got off a phone call with Deed earlier today or this afternoon, and our numbers are within 1% of nationwide. So Alaska is growing and we are closing the gap. And that was the message that I heard today. So congratulations to all the teachers because they are making our reading gaps close. And I think that we will not only see it close, but I think we're gonna surpass the gap, and I think we'll be above in the nation in the next 2 years.
Thank you very much. Any questions, comments?
I'll say they are enjoying the Falling for Reading Challenge. Even our Scoggies, we've been packing books and reading in the pouring rain. So thank you.
I love the dedication.
I love
the
dedication.
We drink our tea with our camp stove and make tea, and we all circle around and rip and read.
Oh, so, yeah. You're going to have to send me pictures so that I can get those posted.
It's been really fun.
Yeah.
Trying to find all the weird places we can read books.
I love it. We went to the Scoggs to do that, and I love the adventure. And adults, by the way, you can log your pages read to you. So the teachers in the middle and high school are competing with the students.
Oh.
And so.
What happens if the students win? Who's shaving their head?
What's going to happen? Oh, I don't know. Is one of the school board going to shave their head?
Put it out there, Katie.
You know, right now the students are beating the teachers, but the teachers are gaining ground very quickly. Oh. So we'll see what happens in the end. We have a few weeks left.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to our committee reports. Crisis, Katie?
I can't remember if it was before the last meeting or not, but we did kind of meet to discuss our emergency procedures plan. We kind of went through it page by page and made some amendments and changes. I haven't seen a final yet, but hopefully
the flip charts haven't even arrived yet to be stuffed. So
we have flip charts coming. And walked through it literally page by page, which was really, really helpful. So I feel like that's a crisis type of thing, or preventing crisis kind of thing, hopefully. So that's the one report I have.
Okay. And curriculum, have you guys started? I can't remember.
They are in process of reviewing social studies curriculum. Teachers are kind of divvying up who's looking at what. I haven't been able to attend a curriculum meeting yet. There was one yesterday, but I think it was canceled yesterday, right? Because they were just kind of in getting work time
I'm
to read
certain.
Through. But we plan to meet again in January, I think was the plan, to kind of dig into it. But it's in process. They're doing the work.
Okay. Facilities was Nicole. Is anyone interested in serving on facilities? I don't mind doing it since I don't have one right now, so I'd be happy to step into that role.
Great.
If anybody else
Thank
has
you.
Any interest.
Okay. Invitation right now.
So I will be meeting next week. I think I wrote it down. November 4th?
Yep, but I'm just gonna invite you right as
okay.
I talk.
Legislative liaison, nothing right now. Negotiations, we don't have any. Policy, you guys have been busy.
Yeah,
got
there's
some
second
tonight.
Reading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we've been busy.
Okay. Technology card, not met. Okay. Wellness.
We do have regular meetings. Unfortunately, it's on a day of the week that I cannot attend. So if somebody else would like to do the wellness committee, I'm happy to like step down from it. I love when I am able to go. It's a great committee. I just can't always commit to the day of the week, which is typically Wednesday.
So. Put it out there and maybe
yeah.
if we get another board member.
Yeah.
You might be interested. And budget, you're probably just... got a budget calendar now, so get going on that eventually. It's hard to even think about it since we're only a month into school. Okay, any special recognition? I don't think we have any besides Mr. Cabral that we have already. Old business. So we have our second and final reading on our policies. So the policy committee met on September 10th to review a collection of policies recommended for updates from AASB, as well as the finance director, Shannon Baird. So hopefully you were able to go over the worksheet and an explanation of changes, and these policies were passed in their first reading at the September meeting, and now we will recess to a public hearing for the policies. If anybody has any comments or... Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing because nobody is interested in speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So public hearing was held with no comments regarding the policies that had already been read or passed in their first reading. So now I will make a motion to approve the policies as presented in their second and final reading. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Carrie. Any further discussion?
I'm wondering what about the cell policy.
The cell phone policy?
Yeah, because that's part of mine.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. The cell phone policy?
Mm-hmm. Is it going well? Is that the question?
No, do we have to change it to match the
Oh, that's
state
right, because
policy.
The state was more strict than what we had put in.
Oh,
but it wasn't.
The final version that was approved basically stated that we had to have a cell phone policy.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, that's it. Okay.
So ours didn't really
Great.
Have.
And we have one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so that... We have to address the use of cell phones like while in session, and that's already in our language.
So this was actually the new one is a little more where it had one.
Well, I was thinking the one that you sent out said that you couldn't have the cell phone even during lunch.
Middle school does not. High school has that allowance.
I
don't
to
see
pay for
cell
stuff.
Phone policy on the list of ones for tonight.
Was
Do
this
you?
One? Okay. 5138 was the one that I was.
Okay.
Okay. And so it's within the state bounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that was the modification, was the high school students being able to access at lunch so they could pay with their phones.
And I think there was, at least my concern was, is that we would have a mass exodus from campus every day instead of eating the wonderful, clearly, school lunches, taking advantage of that, encouraging kids to still eat school lunches instead of some of them not eating at all.
So they get their cell phone even if they're staying.
Correct.
Okay.
For high school.
Middle school, they check it in at the beginning of the day and they check it out at the end.
Yeah, since they don't leave campus anyway.
Okay.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded to approve the list of policies in its second and final reading. Mara, could you please call the roll?
Yes.
Katie Holman?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Mary Kate?
Yes.
Carly Peters?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next, we'll move on to new business, which is our budget committee calendar. Finance Director Baird will present the budget committee calendar for approval. The calendar will lay out a timeline of the budget process and meeting dates for fiscal year 2027.
I've already been thinking about fiscal year 27 for a couple of years, but yeah, join me. Have you guys all had a chance to look at it? Okay, so we are wanting to get started a little bit sooner than last year and have a little deeper process. We know it's going to be a hard budget to put together, so we want to allow a lot of time for committee and board and community input. So that's why we're starting so early and maybe more committee meetings than we've had before. But yeah, the first meeting would be November 11th, and we'll be, if you guys approve and accept this budget timeline, then we'll get the invites out to everyone that was on last year's budget committee, and might have to look for some new people too. We'd like to, you know, have a couple staff members from each building, and of course all of our admin, and then some parents as well. So yeah, there's, as Vicki was talking about, that 10% will be held back to that at the end of fiscal year 26, so we won't have that wiggle room. But I'm not all doom and gloom about it right now. I think things are going to be okay. It's going to be like, yes, we're going to have to make some hard choices, but we have quite a bit of cushion. I don't know if you guys saw in the financial statements, they were just added to the agenda today because they've been working on a draft, and I had some comments from the first draft that they were working on. But we had over $500,000 unspent budget to actual, so similar to last year. Mm-hmm. So that tells me that I could be budgeting for more of those savings, and we could also budget a little riskier. So, I mean, it's kind of, with the staff vacancies, that's kind of just growing. That's really our new normal. We would have like a couple hundred thousand variance, but now it's been higher. So that tells me that I need to budget differently so that we can utilize more of that money in other areas. So I think it's not all doom and gloom. It is still going to be a hard budget session, but we'll work through it with lots of meetings, lots of input.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Motion has been made and seconded to create the budget committee calendar.
Sorry, who was the second?
Oh, I might not have. I apologize. It was just the description. Yeah, sorry. So I will, I guess we didn't have any decision to be made. It was, says it's an action item, but is it more of just more of a discussion? We don't need, but I guess it's a creation of a committee, so we need to, we do need to approve it. Okay, so I'll make a motion to approve the budget committee for fiscal year 2025. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Carrie. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Next, we'll move on to our grant acceptance, which is 17.2. So the board will be presented with a list of state, federal, and local grants that the district has been awarded. And we'll vote either way to accept or not. Can't imagine we
would. Did you guys have any questions on any of it?
No.
Well, it was nice having the highlight to remind us of what's new this year.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of curious what the Embrace, I think that is what the Embrace is.
Embrace is the new software.
Yeah, Embrace is a new software portal for special education to create and do all of the paperwork that are required for special education students, including things like IEPs and parent sign-off forms and evaluations and whatnot. And the state created or is
the state's
launching
to pilot
this.
It. This year, along with a couple of other districts. So I know Fairbanks and Petersburg.
A couple of staff members to travel up to the conference to work and troubleshoot and work through the new process and new software. And I can't remember what all else, but it can also be used for like 504s and behaviors. Like you can use it for other tracking, other things as well. So they're looking into it and they're a part of that process.
And then I think at the bottom were a few other new ones. which we had already discussed, I think, in the spring that we were getting potentially, but the Community Foundation gave us the Garden Sprouts Grant. It's hard to read from this distance.
Yes, Garden Sprouts Grant.
Yeah, is that the new thing in the...
So all three of those grants, the Garden Sprouts Grant from the Community Foundation, the State Whole Kids STEM Garden Grant, and the STEM Garden Matching Grant from Petersburg Mental Health Services, all of that went towards the new hydroponic garden, like little kiosk things. Yeah.
Yeah, so about $9,500 worth. Oh, cool. And so if you're curious, it is in the commons area of the high school. It was pretty neat to see it plugged in out there. It's not up and running yet, but it just came through, so it was pretty exciting to see it.
Yeah.
He was calibrating all the whatever special tools the other day for pH, and I'm not a gardener, so I just nod my head and smile.
It'll be fun to see it and get to work. So, okay. I'll make a motion to approve the grants as listed in the packet. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Mara, could you please call the roll?
Yes. Craig Peterson?
Yes.
Carrie Cates?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Katie
Holmgren? Yes.
Okay, motion passes. Next, we'll move on to our school calendar for 2026-2027 draft. So the board will be presented with a draft for the school calendar for the following school year, not this year. We've already approved that one, and this will have it. We'll have a chance to weigh in before we actually accept it in November. So, take it away, Superintendent Taylor.
Sure. So, as I shared earlier tonight in my report, this calendar is a representation of really the majority of where our stakeholders provided information to us on where they'd like to see. And for the general community, school community at large, the important dates are when school starts, when winter break is, and when spring break is. And so those were the key three areas that I asked the community at large. And I also asked those questions of our staff, but in addition with the staff, we were asking about in-service days, how they would maybe like the school year to start and end with in-service and work days and throughout the school calendar. So this calendar has our staff coming back to work on Tuesday, August 18th, starting with three in-service days, and then teachers would have a work day on Friday, August 21st and Monday, August 24th. The majority liked that. It was about a 60%, you know, I like this way versus the other way, but we're gonna try it. With school opening on Tuesday, August 25th, that will be for grades 1 through 12, and Wednesday, August 25th will be for kindergartners to return to school. Labor Day holiday is mandated by the state, but then we will move to, for students, in essence, it'll be a long weekend. For staff, not so much. We'll have parent-teacher conferences September 24th and 25th, with the idea behind that, talking with administration, is we'll have the first round of the Alaska Reads Act testing going on, so we'll meet the state's requirement for providing that information to parents. We should also have the state assessment results from the spring by then to be able to release those to parents. And really, within those first 5 weeks of school, as a teacher, you get an idea of students who might be struggling and need a little help, or, you know, if we need to help get somebody on track, or if they're doing great. It's, as a teacher, you kind of start to have a good feel of where kids are. And if we do have students that potentially are heading into a risky area, hopefully we can catch them earlier rather than later and help provide some additional assistance. So the 24th and 25th would be parent-teacher conference days, and then the 28th and 29th would be teacher in-service, and that is when Yana with Corwin intends to come back in person to the district, work with our staff, as well as stay a few extra days to work with them in action in the building. So we're excited about that. October will be a full month with only activities interrupting. Then November, we will release and have an extended weekend for the Thanksgiving break, so no school on Wednesday the 25th through the 27th to allow for Thanksgiving break.
And so that's not going to be conferences. That will just be
correct. It'll just be, whoa, on my screen, that just went really big. It'll just be a school out, a school release. So families, especially if they're traveling, that hopefully will allow some opportunity. We will do an early release on the 24th. And that way, if families are on the afternoon jet, they shouldn't be missing much school, if any. But obviously, you can't control the morning jet. So then Christmas break. The preponderance of evidence was that people wanted to be released for the break starting that Friday, the 18th. So we'll do an early release as normal on that day and have 2 full weeks of Christmas break. Returning, teachers will return on Monday the 4th for a teacher work day, and then students will return on Tuesday the 5th. The middle and high school will, their first semester will end on Friday the 15th of January. So they will have a teacher work day on Monday the 18th to allow for them to close out a semester in their system, open a new semester. There is a lot of behind the scenes work that has to happen, especially with Canvas. So that provides that opportunity. Elementary will be in session as normal. Then in February, parent-teacher conferences will occur district-wide on the 18th and 19th. And then the elementary, to offset that, the high school day on the 18th, they will have the 22nd as their conferences are wrapping up to do their pieces to transition to end the rest of the year in their third trimester, excuse me. We had lots of, it was about a 40% were in favor of the spring break occurring once again over the state basketball tournament week. And then the rest of the respondents were a mixture of the week before, the week after, or even later. So we placed the spring break during what is projected to be the state basketball tournament. The only scenario that might change is the Alaska School Activities Association will vote on their state calendar in December. Jamie feels confident that this will be the state basketball calendar that gets adopted. And the majority of folks do like the idea of an additional day at spring break to allow for that travel, especially with Alaska Airlines. And so that is what is represented with the Friday the 12th. So going to spring break, we'll have the early release on March 11th and then return back on March 22nd. April is normal, except, oh, we didn't highlight, the 23rd and 26th are the placeholders we have right now for that Science of Reading Symposium. The CLSD grant that we've acquired only allows for one in-state only professional development conference that can be attended, and they have specified that it has to be the Science of Reading Symposium. So it will provide an opportunity. It's a great conference, but that is the only conference we can use those funds to send a number of people to, and so we wanted to ensure that we can send people to it and maybe not be super short on subs. Then finally, with this proposed calendar, we would be able to have graduation on Tuesday the 25th of May tentatively, with the last day of school for students being Thursday the 27th, teacher work day on the 28th, going into Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm. Would it be possible to add onto the calendar those early dismissal days? Because every time they come up, it's a surprise. I feel like, oh, we're out early. Whoops. Not like the regular Friday ones, but you know, the ones that happen before breaks. It might be helpful just for planning purposes.
Mm-hmm. If that's you can do that.
So what kind of questions do you have that I can try to answer?
Yeah, I don't have any either. I think it reflects kind of some of the things we've talked about prior. So. Mm-hmm.
I did get a request to do the calendar 2 years out, but I haven't made it.
That seems a little far.
It's hard, but when we do try to plan around like some conferences or AWSA, it's like,
then
we're kind of,
yeah.
Yeah.
If we just waited. Well, we'll anticipate potentially accepting this version or something extremely similar but in November. All right, next we'll move on to another informational is our call for letters of interest. So those that are listening, after the borough election in October, our fifth seat on the Board of Education remained unfilled, and the seat can be filled as an appointment for 1 year with the term ending in October 2026. So effective immediately, the board will accept letters of interest through to November 1st. Hopefully we'll have some. And if you're interested and you have any questions, feel free to reach out to any board member. You can find our contact information on the district's website. You can also call the district office if you're unable to find those. And we'd be happy, any one of the four of us would be happy to talk to anybody interested in finding out more about the time commitment. I will say it's kind of a nice little toe dip into being on the board. You get appointed now and you still have to come up for election in October if you choose to stay on the board or you would like to stay on the board. So it's a good kind of trial run per se without a full 3 year commitment. But we do encourage anyone who might be interested. You do not have to have a student in the system. You only have to be a resident for 30 days. It's a unique residency requirement, whereas all the other boards for the borough do require a year's residency. So if you've moved here 6 months ago and you're interested in serving and you've got time to commit, then we would love to hear from you. So again, reach out to any one of the four of us if you have any questions or concerns and want to learn more. Any additional comments from board members?
We were going to do that.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
We're on 21.
Oh, that's for 21. Yeah, sorry. Upcoming dates and meeting announcements, please look on the website or use the app that we have. The Pierceburg School District's academic and activities calendar can be viewed there. Future agenda items, it sounds like we'll have a calendar draft. Hopefully we'll have some letters of interest to consider, or best would be to be appointing someone next month.
I may miss next month.
Okay.
Board meeting as well.
I may also.
What's the scheduled date for it again?
It is the 18th, the 16th, 18th.
The 16th is a Sunday, so hopefully not that day. The 18th is a Tuesday. I'll be out of town.
I am supposed to go to D.C., but who knows?
okay.
So
we all just have nervous.
Maybe we'll check in at the beginning of the month and see what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
Okay. So tentatively, it might need to be moved to the week before, or probably the week before.
Probably the week before.
It's Thanksgiving, the week after. The week before would be better. It's Thanksgiving, the week after.
Right.
You did just approve a budget timeline that has a budget committee meeting at 6 p.m. the week before. So that can be moved, obviously. But just so you know.
Okay. Well, hopefully things will work out and we can keep it the status quo. But if we can't meet, that could be a challenge. Okay. So that's a tentative potential change. Okay, so we talked about future agenda, other new business, I've already forgotten.
A motion to accept the audit as presented.
Oh yes, thank you. I knew it was on the first page. Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the draft audit that was presented this evening. Could I have a second?
Second.
A motion's been made and seconded by Kari. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none. Maura, could you please call the roll?
Carrie Cates?
Yes.
Kari Peterson?
Yes.
Katie Holman?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes. Motion passes. Now I'll make a motion to adjourn if we don't have any other business. Could I have a second?
You got it.
Okay. Sorry.
Oh, that's a long time to wait. You guys all just want to hang out.
Motion's made and seconded by Kari. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Have a good evening, everybody.